We have Jack, I think you're going to call the meeting to order. Mike and Jerry, you're ready now, right? Are you ready, Jerry?
Okay, just get your gavel.
A glass.
Hit the gavel, okay. Steve's online, so I think we have a full board. Steve asked me to chair the meeting while he's up the river chasing moose. And Steve, good luck on your moose chase. So we have in front of us a motion to approve the agenda and the consent agenda. So I'll give you guys a couple minutes to look at it, look at the information. And without objection, I would ask for a motion when you're ready.
Move to approve.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Any objection or any corrections? Hearing none, we have the consent agenda approved. So we move down to the operation report. And George, looks like you're on.
All right. All right, so construction shooting right along. The mainline work for all of the tag mainlines out there in North Bowl have been completed. So far, they're over 55,000 linear feet of pipe installed so far this year. They've moved out North Pole and they're over working off a Chena pump right now. We got some really good news today that they've done one of their hardest bores they were looking at this year, shooting across Cripple Creek over there, and they're all pulled back and in good shape and plugging right along. So that was definitely good news. Service line crews are out and fighting everything they can. We're getting to that fun-filled stall point in the season where new construction is holding us up on being able to get things installed. But we'll keep pressure on everybody, and permits have been flowing in and keeping moving forward. As far as operations, no lost time injuries. We did have one vehicle accident in a parking lot with a truck hitting a light pole. We've had 26 turn-ons this reporting period. Leakage surveys and line patrols are in progress. Leakage surveys should be finished up this week. A little bit longer to go on line patrols, but those can be done in inclement weather, so no concerns on that front. The monitoring of the ground cooling loops is looking really good. We've got new wells going in the week of the 22nd out there so that we can have a more reliable monitoring system than what was originally installed. And one of the battles we had with the FMCSA trying to jump through all the hoops to get registered as a certified tanker inspection facility at Site 3. So we got all that paperwork pushed through with me as one of the registered inspectors and pending paperwork on Jeremiah Flint to be our second inspector. That way we can keep all the trailers legal and on the road. Titan facility is running as smoothly as can be inspected for what that facility is. We are starting to see our production trend back up with the decreased ambient temperatures down that way. And then on the PHMSA and regulatory front, we did have a surprise inspection last week from the Hazardous Material Safety Division and navigated through that as cleanly as can be hoped for. So we're not expecting any unsatisfactory findings resulting out of that. Other than that, that's everything I've got for you guys.
Okay. Any questions to George? Jerry?
So, George, why are we installing additional monitoring loops in the monitoring stations in the ground loop?
So when they're not additional, they're actually replacing the initial wells that were there. So the original design installed 4-inch steel casing into the ground out that way, but they were not properly sealed during installation, so they tend to flood with groundwater and, as a ground cooling loop will do, freeze those in place. So we've been unable to place thermistor strings in there, and we've been periodically steam thawing them out and then registering readings after that. So we're installing new wells that'll be grouted in with a dedicated thermistor string for each well, so we won't be combating that issue in the future.
So is that a warranty problem from Arctic Foundations? Did they install them wrong?
I don't have enough detail spec behind it to speak to that, honestly.
Thank you.
Thank you, George. So in the effort to hurry forward, I skipped over public comment. So let me, at this time, is there anybody in the audience?
I'm sorry, I had a question for George, Chair.
Oh, well, just go right ahead, Chair.
So of the 187 installations, 74 actively using gas, when do you think the others will jump on to start using gas?
With that six-month turn-on, they tend to start to uptick. Oh, here, as short as we're done with construction, they'll start to ramp up. And then within 4 or 5 months, you'll see most of those folks will have turned on and are burning gas. And then you'll have a handful of lingering folks that we'll chase for the next couple of months to get them up and online.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. Okay, let me ask for public comments. Anybody in the audience? And I don't think anybody is online. Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Zach? Jeff, the floor is yours.
So we, excuse me, met not last week, but the week before. Nothing particular to note in the financial report itself. This is for July, so July is the first month of this fiscal year. Looking at, I don't have a patient because I don't have a packet for today, but if we look at the dashboard.
Page 18.
Yeah, and As Elena has indicated in report, the Finance Committee did recommend that the board accept the financials as presented, which was actually done through the consent agenda. So you can see that the actual cost year-to-date, which is essentially year-to-date, is only 1 month, July, is quite a bit higher than the budget, about 10%. That was primarily due to lower than expected heating degree days, but is insignificant in the long run because there was very few heating degree days in July anyway. So no real concern there. And you can see on the next page of the dashboard, when we're looking at actual budget to annual budget to predicted, it is still right on line with the predicted. So no issue as far as to report as far as financials go. There is one thing that I've asked Zach to be prepared to talk to as you go back now to the first page of the dashboard report. You can see that our current working ratio and debt coverage ratio are considerably below budget, and Zach was going to let us know why.
Sure.
So and why we should not be concerned about it.
Well, generally, the first month of the fiscal year, there's not a lot of concern because of obvious reasons. The first month, our cash is in line with what the budget is, which is a good thing. As far as the current ratio being down, we had significantly more or less current assets, about $852,000, along with we had more current liabilities of about $117,000. So that's driving that difference between the 7.6 right there and 11.4, which is about 33%. So for the most part, it's just a timing difference that's driving that. We just have less current assets than what the budget projected. The biggest part of that is actually our accounts receivable and some of our materials inventory. Not terribly concerned about it. As far as the debt coverage ratio, it's the budget projected at 3.7. We're coming at 1.98. Still well above our debt coverage ratio, our minimum amount. Driving that is less revenue, more operating expenses, and then we had less grant income. So all three of those tied together dropped that debt coverage ratio down to 1.98. Still well above the 1.25 that we want, so not any concerns as of July. Subject to any questions.
Okay.
So, any questions for Jack? Okay. I see we don't have a report on the agenda from Zach. Is that, am I missing it?
No, Zach doesn't usually report. The Finance Committee report is...
I must be confusing the two words. Mm-hmm. He talks a lot. Okay, well, let's move to the General Manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My report starts on page 21. I'm going to skip through a couple of different topics. We had our borough presentation on August 21. Director Hagginson, Chair Hagginson, and I presented to the Borough Assembly. I think that went well. The Alaska Defense Forum is a conference that brings together military personnel of all kinds of different ranks from in and outside of Alaska, and Alaska business leaders as part of the pre-session tours. They had a tour to facilities that either currently provide or would be poised in a good position to provide services to the military, and so a tour of our LNG site was included in that, and I think that that was well received, and we were glad to be able to provide that. The delivered residential heating oil remains about 15% more expensive than natural gas, even in the low environments. Now, the costs that we have in this packet are those available to residential customers. Commercial customers that are bigger commercial customers do have their own rates that we do not have access to. The LNG inventory is going up pretty good as projected. We're at about 3.9 million gallons right now. I pulled the numbers for last year. This time we were about 3.6, so both in line with the budget and in line with typical expectations. As far as new customers, there are only going to be 262 new service lines going on this year, which is significantly less than the previous years. However, the distribution between commercial properties and residential properties is still relatively strong. In 2022, when we installed 635 new lines, 111 of those were commercial properties, which of course have the bigger demand this year. We have 90 commercial properties out of 262. Carl retired for a second time at the end of August, so he is no longer with us with IGU, but he was instrumental in securing a lot of those accounts. We still have 24 installations from last year that have not yet turned on. 11 of those have paid for their construction charges. There are a couple of special circumstances there, and then we're working with the rest. Usually, we get the. I have one other topic, if I may. Usually, we get our calendar for the board meetings for the year in December, and we get it approved at that time. I was hoping that the board would entertain me with one request. I am wondering if we could, in January, not have a meeting on the first Tuesday, which is the 6th, and instead either move it to the second Tuesday or meet for a regular board meeting at the time when we would have regularly had a work session.
Any objection to that?
Well, why does she only pick one or the other? She's offering two options.
Okay, pick one.
I would say the second Tuesday.
Second Tuesday? Okay.
So, talking about the 13th of January?
Yes. The 6th would have been regularly both Zach is coming back from PTO on the 7th, and I'm hoping to leave for PTO on the 2nd. So we would have a couple of days of overlap, but.
Sure, any issue with that date? Any issue with that new date?
No.
Gary?
No, I'm good. Change that right now.
Pete? Yeah, you're good. And how about you, Steve? He's not looking for moves. I've met people there. Okay. We'll just accept that recommendation.
Thank you. On to the grants, not a lot to report on most of these grants except for one. A couple of us had a meeting with the Department of Environmental Conservation, the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, and they are who applies for and has received year after year the Targeted Airshed Grant. The Targeted Airshed Grant that we're working out of right now was the 2022 award, and there has not been a new grant published since 2022. We were told that the Alaska DEC expects that the new grant award will catch up with all of the previous year of non-awards. So they expect the maximum award amount that the state could apply for to be either $30 or $40 million, and we got confirmation that there is continued interest in a good portion of the money coming to IGU for additional mainline extensions, specifically to extend into North Pole. So we'll continue working with that. We do have our yearly review with them here coming up. As George has previously reported, we have done everything that we've promised we would do for this year. We came in, though the numbers are still trickling in, but there's a good chance that we came in under budget for that, because we planned to originally have some of it be done by contractors, and instead George and Chris and their crews did all of that in-house in an efficient and effective manner. Our reporting has been good, and so we think that we have been good stewards of that money and that we're going to be able to receive more of it. And that, Mr. Chair, concludes my report.
All right. Any questions? Jeff?
A comment. So when you say that commercial fuel costs are not available, what do you mean by that?
I mean that if Spinard Building, I'm just looking at it, I don't know that they are one, has a negotiated cost with their fuel distributor, that would not be available for, the cost would not be available for public consumption.
Yeah, but to get the residential, you don't go to the customer, you go to the supplier.
Right, but the supplier is not going to share their negotiated costs with individual business customers.
No, but they would give you some idea, for instance. I mean, I think the two big distributors for large commercial are Alaska Fuel Distributors and Alaska Fuel Supply, I think are two. I don't know exactly, but
the hospital gets it from Crowley.
Okay, and so you could ask them, basically, what would the cost be for a full truck delivery?
That is the question that we're asking. We're asking for 500 gallons.
That's not a full truck.
What is a full truck?
The bigger distributors don't deliver in 500 gallon quantities. They deliver in 1,000 gallons to deliveries.
Sure, we could ask that question. You're right.
Yeah, just what is the what the price be for full truck delivery?
Sure.
You know, and that sort of thing. That would give us at least some some basis. You know, another a point of interest here in the thing, and it's not,
sure.
And it's probably going to fall, you know, below our cost. But
sure.
I think that I think that's good to know.
Okay.
We should know that. It's just something to give a try.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay. Sherry?
I was wondering about the 2024 installs that haven't been turned on. So 11 have paid, and then one does not have construction charges. One has received an extension, so that leaves about 11 that you're working with.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? Can you expound on that a little bit?
We're sending them bills. Some of them have special circumstances. Some of them are sick. Some of them, the spouse passed away. Some of them don't ever pick up the phone when we call. We have a database, and Hudson and his team have the individual situation clearly listed in there. I will say that I was curious, and maybe partially anticipating this question. I looked at our biggest ever year in recent history, at least, of new installation. So in 2022, we installed 635 new service lines. As of today, as we stand today, 18 of those 635 have not turned on, and 10 have paid, leaving 8, which is, I don't have the percentage, but it's a small percentage of the 644. We can expect that more will turn on. Sometimes property exchanges hands, and the new owner's like, oh, there's a gas line right here. I don't have to do anything for it, but pay $30 to put it in my name. We mostly see recoup on investment either by nullifying it, paying the actual construction charges, or eventually turning on, even if late.
You good?
Oh, yeah. Chair, I have another question.
Yeah, please ask.
On the grant tracking, so the 26th congressional appropriation anticipated award date of March 31st, so that's kind of come and gone. Is that still on the table? Are you still thinking about it? Or?
Oh, this should say 2026.
Oh, thanks. So it's not come and gone.
No, last year's has come and gone, but this is supposed to be FY26.
Okay.
Yeah,
and just a point that it's natural gas instead of natural gas.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, well, Sherry, thank you for that.
You're welcome, Chair.
Anything else? Okay, hearing none. I guess I'll ask those in the audience, any comments at this time? Okay, thank you. So I know Zane is not here today, so we do not have an attorney's report. I think what we'll do, want to move into executive session, or do you want to take the closing comment section of it?
I would suggest you do the director request for IGU information and then do the closing comments so that once we come out of executive session, we don't have to do anything else.
Okay, so let me then ask the general manager if she has a closing comment.
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Chad?
None.
Pete?
Negative.
Mike? Oh, I didn't call your name. Gary?
And were you asking if I had any comments?
Yes, please.
I have two.
Go ahead, please.
Gary.
Yeah.
I would like to congratulate us on moving on up with the Jeffersons, because we now have a whiteboard. Hopefully we'll use it. Damn sure that I was going to notice it when I walked in.
It's anyway, a good size too.
In the past, I thought that would be really handy, so thank you. I look forward to using it. Second thing is just to bring the board up to date. Elaine and I, mostly led by Elaine, had an interview last week with a lady by the name of Lois Parshin. Lois, I came to know through, she's a freelance author. She publishes a blog. It's kind of tilted towards the environmental, but it isn't all the way over. Anyway, I came to know her because she did a long piece on the Orwell, and so we came to know her, and we came to respect her as a reporter. So she called me last week, wanted to know if she could sit down with me. And I said, of course, but Elena has forgotten more than I'll ever know about this project. So Elena was good enough to come and spend an hour with Lois and sit there and Lois there. And Lois just had done her homework and came off some really good questions. And Elena, I think, did just an excellent job of making Lois feel comfortable about where we were. And it essentially had to do with the interface between IGU and the big pipe, the LNG project. And so she had done her homework, and I thought I had some really good questions. And Elena, of course, could answer all those. So I thank Elena for that. Did a great job. I was proud of her. Lois and I, afterwards, just had a chance to talk a little bit about the ore haul. And so she said, she indicated, pointed kind of where Elena was sitting. And she said, that's kind of a sharp lady. Where did you find her? And I said, oh, right over in the corner. Really, I said, yeah, she's homegrown. She came here and took over. And she said, well, she certainly does a good job. And I said, well, we think so, too. So, Elena, you're blushing, but take the gratitude and the praise in the spirit that is offered. So, thank you. So, that's it.
Okay. Thank you, Gary. Where might we expect to read or hear whatever this young lady writes?
I'm sure Lois will let me know. I think right at the outset she said that she was working towards having something ready for November. Okay. And so I don't know where it'll be, but of course Elaine will know and I'll know and get it pushed out to everybody.
Okay.
Thank you.
You sure?
No, thank you.
Okay, good. So that's it for director's comments. So if somebody might, I think you're probably ready to make a motion to...
Steve.
Oh, Steve, are you there? Are you being quiet still?
I'm here. No, I figured out how to get off of mute. I'm glad to hear Gary's comments. Thanks for sharing that, Gary. But I have no other comments other than that. Thanks.
Okay. Well, thank you. Mike?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we adjourn the board meeting at the adjournment of the executive session.
Okay. That's been moved.
Second.
And second it without objection. Passed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we the board enter into executive session to discuss IGU's strategic plan matters, which, if immediately known, could clearly have an adverse effect on IGU finances, to include the IGU board of directors, the IGU attorney, the general manager, the controller, and the executive system.
Okay. Motion. Second.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any objection? Hearing none, we will take a couple minute break and move into executive session.